All right, you guys ready for the word? Here's Pastor Tom. Amen.
Are you guys excited about tonight? Man, I believe that the Holy Spirit has something very unique in store for us this evening. So much so that this wasn't the message that was scheduled for tonight, but the Lord told me last night that He was going to change some things up, so I've been working on this most of the day. And during worship, it was funny that Reed mentioned Moses, because I was sitting there during worship and I thought about the cry of Moses. God revealed a lot to Moses. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, gave him the revelation of creation and how all that took place, and performed mighty miracles before Pharaoh and all of Egypt, then mighty miracles before all of Israel. Gave him a revelation of heaven and the tabernacle and how God was going to structure grace and forgiveness. He received all of that. And then when God asked him, "What do you want?" Moses just simply said, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory." See, the things that Reed wants to see tonight, the things that I want to see tonight, the things that we're believing God for, I can't do. What we need the Holy Spirit to do in this place is what no one else can do. We need the Holy Spirit to move in such a way to do what no man is capable of doing. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, Lord. See, we're talking about a chosen generation. We're talking to a chosen generation. We're talking about being a knight in the army of the Lord, in the conduct of a soldier, the lifestyle of a soldier. And it all comes down to the cry of Moses that says, "Show me your glory." What Moses was saying is that, God, it's not enough to know all this stuff that you want to show me. It's not enough to just know all these things that you want to reveal to me. It's not enough to know what your plan is. I don't want to just know your plan. I want to know you. See, it's one thing to look across this room and see the potential of young people. It's one thing to come to camp, have an awesome experience. It's one thing to know what God wants to do and to accomplish, it's another thing to know God. And that was the thing that Moses, that was the cry of his heart, as he said, "Show me your glory. I see all this stuff. I know what you want to do for the children of Israel. I know what you're capable of. I've seen your power. I've seen your deliverance. I've seen the miracles. I've seen it. God, I want to know you. Show me your glory." I want that to become the cry of your heart tonight. I want the prayer of Moses to echo, to ring inside of your spirit. I want God to do something inside of each one of you that only He is capable of doing. Not what I'm capable of doing, not what the worship team is capable of doing, and they're very capable. That's some awesome worship. But I'm talking about that which only the Holy Spirit and His power and His anointing and His glory can do inside of you. I want to see God do crazy stuff. I say that because I don't know any other term. I don't know a better way to define it. I want us to pray right now. I want us to give permission to the Holy Spirit to move in this place any way that He sees fit. That we would see Him do in me what only He is capable of doing. Whatever He wants to do, however that looks, however that feels. If it means that we're falling on our face and crying, then so be it. If it means we're falling over, so be it. If it means we're intoxicated by His presence. And so however He wants to do, whatever He wants to do. Because the cry of our heart is, "Show me your glory. I want us to pray this prayer together. Say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We ask that you do what no one else is capable of, what you alone can do. And I give you permission to move in my life any way you see fit. Do in me whatever you choose, however you choose, whatever it looks like, whatever it feels like. Show me your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, man, it's thick tonight, guys. God is here. He's gonna rock the house. Just, man, I feel like I want to do like a T.D. Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm not sure why that was so funny back there, but I'm sure I'll do what? Oh, see, you know I'm not making it up. We can go ahead and switch to that first slide. Tonight I want to talk to you about our weapons. And I know that you had what was that thing that you guys did today on the Holy Spirit? What was that called? Devotional. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. This could be a very long service. I know that you had a devotional on the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I, like I said, I was in my cabin redoing some things that for tonight and what the Lord spoke to me. So I don't know exactly what was or wasn't covered. I know that it ended awesome with, is there anybody, how many of you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues today for the first time? That's so awesome. Okay. So I want to talk about that just a little bit. I don't know what was or wasn't covered, but I just know what the Holy Spirit prompted my heart to speak on tonight. And so I want you to be open to, I don't want you to tune out and say, yeah, this is what we already heard, or some of these scripture verses might be the same. Some of them might not. Some of the points or perspectives might be the same. Some of them might not. I don't want you to tune out because you think you got it all this morning. Let me just tell you this very carefully, that the Holy Spirit very strategically sews things, weaves things together, knits things together for a purpose. And like I said, this is not what I had planned to speak on tonight. I had different video clips and different points, all kinds of stuff planned. This is so he did and is doing what he's doing for a strategic purpose. And so I don't want anybody to check out and say, yeah, we heard that today right before lunch. Because the Holy Spirit wants to do a very specific work. And so I want your hearts to be prepared. That's why we prayed that prayer. The weapons are weapons. Or what we're going to talk about, because the Holy Spirit is a very powerful ally, a very powerful weapon. I'm going to open tonight with a short video clip. Go ahead. This video clip is from the World Trade Center movie about 9/11. Two things that took place in this soldier's life. This actually is based off a true story. The first thing that he recognized was that we were at war. That there was a fight that was going on. When everyone else was scrambling around to find out if this was an accident or why this had taken place or who was responsible, this soldier recognized the key factor that took place was that we are at war. And when you position yourself in a place to receive from the Holy Spirit what he wants to do in you, you must realize that there is a war that is taking place. There is a war that is going on. We are fighting against an enemy, against principalities. We are fighting against a real devil. He's not some cartoon character with a long little pointy red tail. He's a real devil who's out to destroy this generation. We are at war. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, We do not war according to the flesh. Our fight is not with people. And if we are at war and our fight is not with people, our weapons need to be very strategic. If we're not fighting against flesh and blood, guns and Uzis won't work. If we recognize that we are at war, when soldiers go to war, they go for the right equipment. If you're following any of the political stuff, there's a huge argument all the time in Washington with the politicians about equipment and funding and all that stuff, because soldiers need the right equipment to fight their war. The same thing is true in Christianity. On our first night, we talked about rising a knight in the army of the Lord. If you're going to fight this war, you need to be well equipped with the right kind of weaponry. We cannot fight this the normal way of fighting. This isn't some schoolyard fight. It's not a fist fight that we're in. We're not fighting according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 4 gives us a clue into how our enemy works. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled or is covered, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In other words, when someone is rejecting God, or they're not accepting your witness, they're not accepting the, you're trying to evangelize them and tell them about the saving grace, the God of this age has blinded their eyes. Your fight is not against the lost. Your fight is not against those who are not saved, who do not know the Lord. Because the Bible declares they have been blinded by the God of this age. That is who we are fighting. We are fighting the God of this age, the devil. That's why Jesus said, because they hated me, they'll hate you. Why? Why would people be the same 2,000 years later, never learning anything different? Because the God of this age is the same. In the same way that they persecuted Jesus, they'll persecute you. If they loved me, they'll love you. That's what he said. Why? Because the God of this age is the same. And it's very important that we recognize, because sometimes we want to get irritated with people for not being saved. What's wrong with you? What is your problem? I'll tell you this right now, because I know how people are. There's some in this room, they've been in camp all week, they're still not saved. Why? Because the God of this age is the same. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against those family members that don't yet know the Lord. We're not fighting against those neighbors who haven't had their eyes open to the truth, to the light of the gospel. And so because we recognize that we are at war and the normal weapons of warfare won't work, we need to focus on what our weapons are. What will work? What will pull down those strongholds? What is it that will accomplish the goal and the victory through God's army? The rest of that scripture, verse 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or earthly, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. If you want to accomplish something in somebody's life, you have to first pull down the strongholds that are in their life. You have to have victory in the spirit realm, because that's where our fight is. That's why it's so important that we stay prayed up. That's why it's so important that we stay in touch with the Holy Spirit, because He directs us, He guides us, He gives us inspiration. The Bible says that He is faithful, that if we open our mouth, He'll fill us with the words to speak. Why is that? Because we're not fighting against the person that's in front of us. We're not fighting against the person that's standing there and rejecting the gospel. We're fighting against the prince of this air. And we need spiritual weapons that are more mighty than the skin. Man, if muscle and strength would do it, Randy'd have every single person he knows saved. Because, man, he could drag them in screaming and crying, whatever it would take. Just body slam them into the kingdom of God. But it's not brute force. It's spiritual weaponry. We need a spiritual arsenal. The man prayed in the church and he told his pastor, God, has given me giftings to go fight this war. He had been with the Marines, and God had given him giftings to go fight this war. Listen, that is where our strength relies. That's where our strength is dependent, is on the giftings that God gives us. Listen, we are not capable within our flesh, because we're not fighting flesh, to accomplish this. We're not capable of doing it through our intellect or through our strength, through our wit, through experience. It takes a spiritual arsenal. We have to build that up. And so I want to talk about the giftings for a minute. I want to talk about the purpose of the Holy Spirit and the giftings of the Holy Spirit, and why it is so important that we receive that baptism. And then once we receive it, what we're supposed to do with it. Let me just tell you this right now. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, if you don't know what to do with it, it's not going to make you any more spiritual. Not at all. People speak in tongues all the time. They're still dealing with sin in their life. All the time. Baptism in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you got a better place in heaven. In fact, I even believe there are some that are baptized in the Holy Spirit still don't even know the Lord. They're just like, not going to make it. They backslide. People are baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, have the power of God flow through them, and they backslide. It happens. The other thing that I'll tell you too right off the bat, baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a requirement for salvation. So I don't want anybody to get misconstrued. I don't want anybody thinking something contrary to that. Listen, there are several people in the Bible where Jesus said, you'll be in paradise, you'll be in heaven. They were not baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. I find no evidence of that requirement for salvation. There's nowhere where the prophecy of salvation even mentions that. But it is a gift, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's what we're going to talk about, that. I will say this, though. Salvation is required to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You must be saved first. But baptism in the Holy Spirit doesn't make you saved. You following me so far? All right, we're going to jump into this, the giftings. Acts 1, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, you've heard me speak about, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, the disciples had a little mistaken idea here. They were thinking that the promise of the Father was that Jesus was going to come and establish his earthly kingdom in the physical form, and he's saying, no, that is to come later. Right now, what you need to understand is that what the promise is not the end of the war, but the weapons to fight the war. When you read that scripture verse, I know that there's a good chunk of scripture verse there, but the disciples were saying, so are you saying that the war is going to be over? I'm paraphrasing the disciples' terminology. So are you saying it's all going to be done? You're coming to set up your kingdom. That's the promise, right? And he said, no. I'm going to put inside of each one of you the ability to fight this war. I'm going to put inside of you the promise, the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of God through His Holy Spirit is going to be inside of each one of you to fight this war. Basically what he's saying, if you could picture this in your mind, he's saying, I'm going to put bullets in the gun that you are. Who wants to take an empty gun to a war? Basically what he's saying is, I'm filling you. I'm going to put the stuff inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God will dwell inside of you. And I'll give you the ability to fight this war, because he says, this is what he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria. Listen, we've already established that when we're witnessing, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. And yet here, Jesus says, I'm going to give you the power to be the witness that I've called you to be. He's saying, I'm going to give you the power to pull down those strongholds. I'm going to give you spiritual weaponry that no one will be able to see with the naked eye. No one will be able to see with the flesh eye, but it will be inside of you, and you'll receive the power to be that bold witness. You'll receive the power to implement the giftings of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive that power to take God's word and be able to give a spiritual application in a world that's lost and dying, and it'll penetrate the veil that is over their eyes. Receive the power to be witnesses. I don't know about you, but witnessing is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. And there's all different kinds of methodology out there. There's friend evangelizing. First you build a relationship, then you share the gospel with them. After you get to know them, then there's tracks. How many of you guys have taken the Way of the Master course? That happens to be my favorite. That's so awesome. I highly recommend it. If you haven't taken the Way of the Master, jump in a group that's doing it and take it. Small groups after camp. There you go. I just heard that come from nowhere. Just he says, I'm going to fill you. I'm going to put inside of you the power to be the witness that we've been talking about all week long. The power to be the soldier that you stood or you knelt on your knee and said, I'm going to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm going to rise at night. I'm going to live according to God's word. I'm going to let my conduct be pleasing unto the Lord. I'm not going to stop at the 50-yard line. And tonight we're talking about receiving the power to implement all of that in a world who is spiritually blind. I had been a Christian for some time, and I went on a missions trip. This is when I first realized this hardcore. I went on my first missions trip, barely 18 years old. I went to Russia, and we had the Book of Hope, and we were handing it out in classrooms and schools. The local government had asked us to come in and share this Book of Hope with everyone. And then we did nighttime rallies, and we were doing them at like 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock rather. At 3 o'clock, kids started lining up at the door because they wanted to come back and hear what we had to say about this book and about this Jesus that was in the book. And so we did that for 5 days, 5 nights, and we ended up having to move locations 3 times because we had overgrown the facilities. And By the last facility that we were able to secure on the last night, it held 5,000 people. And again, they were out there at 3 o'clock, and the place was packed. There were people just standing along the walls, very similar to this room tonight. Just standing along. They were just crammed everywhere, packed. And it was Russia, and it was the winter time, and so they were all multi-layered, and then the heater was on, and so it was foul and stinky, and everybody was just piled in on each other. Like I said, very much like tonight. 5,000 people, and that night I shared my testimony on how Christ had changed my life, how I'd come to know the Lord, and I got to share my faith in Him. And when they gave the altar call, 5,000 people came to the front to accept Jesus Christ for the first time ever. We had to ask them. We thought that they were perhaps confused because we were under the assumption that there were people there that night that had been there the other nights. And so we asked, no, who's already been to, who had been to the other halls, you know, that we had met in? Nobody had been there because we had, each time we had gone to different schools and we had changed locations. So it wasn't until basically the day that we were at those schools that anybody even knew where we were going to be. Nobody had been there before. Nobody had heard our presentation all week. That week, 5 days, 10,000 first-time converts to Christ Jesus. Accepted the Lord. Yeah, that's awesome. 5,000 just on the last night because we finally got a big enough building. Who knows what would have happened if we would have been able to have a building that size all week long. Because every night it was packed, and every night there were people coming to the altar, coming and wanting us to sign their Book of Hope because they wanted to keep it forever and just read it and all of that sort of thing. And so when I got home back to the States, I was so pumped. Man, my life had just been transformed. I just saw 10,000 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I was more than overwhelmed. I had just had the opportunity because we had different crews, and so we all were, I mean, we were doing 3 and 4 schools a day, hitting classrooms, sharing, each one of us taking turns, handing out these books. We had handed out something like 85 to 100,000 books of hope. It was just ridiculous, the things that were done. There was about 30 of us that were there on that first trip that I had taken. And when I got home, I tried to share that excitement that had just totally radically transformed my faith of what God could do and what was. I'd never seen anything like that. I'd never heard of anything like that before. It was just amazing. I was standing there saying, God, how am I 18 years old preaching to this many people, watching this many people come and know you? How is this even possible? I don't know. I literally went to one of the guys and I was crying my face. I was just bawling, saying, I don't know that I can handle any more of this. I was so overwhelmed by what God was doing. And when I got home and tried to share that with people, other Christians, they just were like, I'm glad you had a good time. I was so blown away. So blown away. God said, I'm giving you the power to share your faith in the way that I've commanded you to do according to the Word. See, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm giving you the giftings, the power. I'm filling you with the weaponry and the arsenal to accomplish the goals that I've set out for you to do, the Great Commission, which is in Mark 16. Verses 15 through 18, he says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, or they will recover. Listen, when you read that list, none of us are capable of doing that kind of stuff. We need an outside source other than ourselves to accomplish this scripture right here. Yet here is Jesus giving this commandment. He's not suggesting it. He doesn't say, hey guys, if you find some time, and there's somebody that you really like and will listen to you, you should go talk to them about this stuff and these things might happen. He says, go! I'm sending you and these things will follow. Why? Because I'm giving you the promise of the Father. I'm giving you the power to fight the war, and that power will accomplish these things that you cannot. Let me tell you this, it does not make sense to lay hands on someone and watch them healed or raised from the dead or restored. It doesn't make sense, but it's that power that abides inside of us through the gift of the Holy Ghost that flows through us. It's not me that heals anybody, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that flows. That he says, I'm going to fill you with the stuff to fight the war. Because there's things I'm calling you to do that you can't do. That you're not capable of doing. Christianity is a hard walk. And ministry is even harder. It's a rough road. And the reason that it's rough is because the prince of this air has veiled the eyes of so many. Because we're at war. And the devil, let me just tell you this, the devil is, he knows who God's generals are, and that's who he fights. He knows that if he can take out a Josh, his influence over your life is gone. You see what I mean? It's a domino effect, and he's looking for the biggest domino to take out. So it's not just a matter of the life of Christianity is difficult, the life of ministry is difficult. And God said, I'm calling you to greatness, but in order for you to get there, I need to give you something other than yourself. I need to give you some outside strength. And he gave us the best thing that he could give us. That was himself. Imagine this. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit of God, who was there at creation, spoke creation into existence, and he's going to dwell inside of you so that when you say to this mountain, be removed, the creative power, the creative authority of God Almighty is inside of you. When we say to this body, rise up and be whole, it is the creative voice, the creative authority, the creative power of Almighty God that is welling up from inside of us through the gift of the Holy Ghost that is raising that person from the dead or raising that person to their feet or whatever the situation is, that power of God. See, he didn't fill you with sloppy seconds. He doesn't want to fill you with sloppy seconds. He said, I'm putting myself inside of you. Putting myself inside of you, the Holy Ghost, God, the Holy Ghost inside of you to fight this war, because these signs will follow you when you witness, when you go into all the world, when you answer the call to be in God's army, when you answer the call to fight this war and you receive this gift, this free gift that he's given to every believer, any who should call upon the Lord. Peter says, this is for all whom the Lord our God should call. All generations, all people, all tongues, all tribes, everyone who is afar off. Praise God for that, because that means you and me. Guess what? We weren't there on the day of Pentecost. And let me just tell you this right now. There are some who want to preach today that the gifts stopped when the apostles died. Let me tell you a couple of problems with that. First of all, the 12 apostles died, but it doesn't mean there was no more apostles after that. So there's the first problem with that theology. There's the first problem with that thinking. We still have apostles today. So to say that the gifts stopped through the apostolic age or whatever terminology you want to say is wrong. Secondly, there's no place in Scripture where God says, I'm going to give you these gifts for a season. And never, we know that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never did God stop talking to people. See, they want to say that between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that those were the silent years. But if we look at Luke, we know that God spoke very specific things to Simon. God told him that you'll see the Messiah before you die. See, God was still talking to people, even in the quote-unquote silent years. If you read about the birth of Jesus, you'll see very clearly that there were prophecies made that people knew about in those silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There never has been a time where God stopped pouring out his gifts. Prophecy didn't stop with the Old Testament. Okay? The gifts of the Holy Ghost are still in full operation today. This was not for another time or for another group of people. It's for us today, now. He poured out his gifts so that we as the chosen generation would have the power to fight an enemy that is not made of flesh and blood, who's been around for a long time. The devil has the ability to outsmart us, to outwit us, at times overtake us. What are you talking about, Tom? How many have ever blown it in sin before? You slipped up somewhere. You struggled with a sin or a temptation. You got angry and some words slipped out that you wish you could just grab and put back in. Right? God says, I'm giving you the power to fight this war through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. Jeremiah talks about that. I'll put my spirit inside of them and I will be their God and they will be my people. His spirit to dwell, the indwelling spirit of God inside of you. Acts 2:2-4 says this, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me just tell you this right now. If the things that God was calling you to, you were capable of doing yourself, that little line that says they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance wouldn't be there. As the Spirit gave them utterance, meaning this Holy Spirit enables us to do things that are outside of our capabilities. And I believe that that is the number one reason that people want to say the gift stopped, because they stopped seeking the Holy Spirit. See, if we say that the gifts aren't there, then we're not responsible for seeking after them. But he's called every believer. To seek after him and to seek after his gifts. Salvation is not dependent on it. I'll say that again. Doesn't mean you're not saved or you don't love God, but he's called you to seek after them. I've heard people say, well, I went down to that altar once and I asked God to give it to me and he didn't, so I just guess it's not for me. God has called us as his army to seek after, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, to keep going after the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit and the things that he wants to do inside of us. And it only makes us better at fighting this war. More equipped. It makes our iron sharper. It makes our guns loaded. Whatever terminology you want to use, he wants to fill us for the very specific purpose of fighting this war. Some would say that it's to be more spiritual. God doesn't care about being more spiritual. If that was it, he'd have been satisfied with the Pharisees. They were super spiritual people, but they weren't getting anything done. It's not to be super spiritual or more spiritual or less spiritual. It's simply for accomplishing the call of God that he gave us in Matthew 16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs will follow. These signs are only able to follow through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot create these things. We cannot do these things in and of ourselves. We need God Almighty to be indwelling inside of us so that we can accomplish the call of God that is on our life. We need the weapons. Receiving the gift. Let me just tell you this before we look at these scripture verses on receiving the gift. I had a hard time receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. First of all, I thought it was crazy. I just thought, there's nothing about that that makes sense. I hadn't heard the explanations as to why God had even given the gift of the Holy Spirit. I hadn't heard that. So I just thought, somebody just like, you need the Holy Spirit to speak in other tongues. Why? And I wasn't trying to be sarcastic, but I just was one of those kind of people where my response to most things was simply, really, I didn't know that. Could you show that to me in the Bible? Show that to me, man. I want to discover that. I was so hungry for God's Word. So I just kind of was like, wow, why do I need to do that? Why? Well, because God commanded it. Yeah, why? I just wanted to know. And finally, I had somebody, after like going to the altar, God, just fill me. Fill me, God. I want to be filled so bad. I don't know why, but I just want to. Please, God, I want to speak in tongues. I was more interested in speaking in tongues than being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I thought that was the end of it. It was, you get filled, you speak in tongues, that's it. All right, God. All right, I want to speak in tongues. That's it. I want to speak in tongues. He's doing it. I want to do it too. So finally somebody said, dude, you got to quit seeking speaking in tongues. What? It's wholly contrary to what everybody's telling me. What? No, I want to speak in tongues. He said, no. Stop trying to speak in tongues. Start trying to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Seek after his power. Seek after him. And he was able to explain to me something. Speaking in tongues is the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the proof of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. But it's not the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is to get the weapons to fight the war. See, it took me a long time to get baptized in the Holy Ghost because I was all mixed up on it. Okay? It took me a long time because I never understood that. I thought I needed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so I could speak in tongues. Finally, somebody said, no. Speaking in tongues is the proof that you've got it. But it's not the purpose. Okay? It's not the purpose. So if your goal here tonight is to come up and have somebody pray for you that you get filled with the Holy Ghost just so you speak in tongues, you're missing the whole purpose of why we're fighting a war. Of what the spiritual battle and the spiritual giftings are all about. So how do we receive it? The next thing I had a problem, once I was able to get over that hurdle, let me tell you this. When I came to the Lord, I was one messed up joker, okay? So I had lots of hurdles, and maybe, just hopefully, some of these hurdles that I had to overcome will help somebody tonight. It's my only hope of redemption through being retarded when it was my turn to get this gift. But I wanted the gift of the Holy Ghost so bad. So bad. Oh, man, I desired it. I prayed for it so many times. Man, every time I prayed, I just sought the Lord. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with your power. Fill me. Lord, I just want you. I want to be close to you. Once I realized the purpose behind the baptism, I started seeking God. Lord, I want to be that bold witness. I want to do those things. And so then, one time, I'll never forget, I was in church, and there was Sister Smith. Sister Smith, awesome woman of God, had her big beehive hair bun that she got done every Saturday for church on Sunday. Man, she's always like the first one there at church, praying in the Holy Ghost all the time. Man, just an awesome woman of God. And I was in church, I was at the altar on a Sunday, and I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she was standing right behind me. And I started to hear a little prayer language going on in my spirit. So I started to say it, and I stopped it. Whoop! And this is the thought that jumped into my head. You're just copying Sister Smith. Oh, no, no, Lord. I started repenting right there like I had just sinned. Like I had just put Christ back on the cross every whip, every nail, every thorn. I just started repenting right there. God, I don't want to fake it. I don't want to copy anybody. God, I want the real deal. I just want it to be you. God, I'm so sorry. I just started repenting right there. And so I didn't even ask for a baptism of the Holy Spirit for like a couple weeks. I thought I was just unworthy to even get it now. I'm just not fit for this gift because here I was trying to copy somebody else's gift. And then the next time, I'd gotten up enough nerve to ask God for it, and so I was praying in my room, kneeling on the side of my bed, and I just was like, God, I just want to know you. I just want to be close to you. I just want to be pleasing to you. I just want your will. I just want your power. I want the Holy Ghost. And I got that same. I started to hear that heavenly language, my spirit again, and I started to say a little bit, oh, that's the devil. Oh, no, 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 God, no. I want it to be the real thing. I don't want some counterfeit devil thing making me, trying to pacify me or trying to get me off track. God, I want the real thing. I don't want that. Because here's the deal, guys. Let me just be straight up with you. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, the Bible declares this in Corinthians that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And so when it came time for me to speak in tongues, guess who had the choice to speak in tongues? Me. And I had the ability to stop it right there before I went any further. At the same time, I also had the choice to speak it out. See, and I was stuck in this little mode, like when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, this dove would fly down out of the sky. and somehow would just envelop my body and would take complete control over me and grab my tongue and start waving it like that. And somehow I would lose all bodily function and control and just start speaking out in this crazy heavenly language that made everybody stop and ooh and ah and bring angels, choirs of angels into the room, right? I'm telling you, I was just whacked, all right? So I was sitting at this minister's house one day, and I had been sharing one of the stuff with one of my friends who had grown up in church. And this minister said to me, he said, "So, Tom, I understand that you are having some trouble in seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Yeah, I really want it, man, but man, it's just kind of hard." And he said, "Really, what's hard about it?" And I said, "Well, I just want the real thing. I don't want something counterfeit. I don't want something made up. I just want the real thing." He said, "Man, that's really good. That's good. Glad to hear that." He said, "Tom, go ahead. Will you speak in German to me?" And I said, "What? No, yeah, I am a missionary evangelist, and I've been to Germany, so I would know if you're speaking German. Would you just please tell me a couple things? Just give me a couple sentences in German." I said, "Well, I don't know German. What does it have to do with this?" "Oh, well, I just came back from Russia. Why don't you speak in Russian, and I'll know what you're saying there, because I spent a lot of time over there. I actually know the Russian language. Why don't you just tell me a couple things in Russian? I'll tell you what you said." I said, I don't know how to speak Russian." He said, "Well, just make it up. Make up Russian. You want me to speak to you in Russian and make it up?" "Yeah, I'll tell you what you say. Don't worry about it. If you don't understand it, that's cool. I'll tell you what you say." I said, "Are you all right? Everything okay? Is the carbon monoxide detector working all right?" He said, "Tom, if you can't make up an earthly language, what makes you think you can make up a heavenly language? You can't fake it. You can't make it up. You can't do anything when it comes to speaking in tongues except for what the Holy Spirit gives you. And if you're seeking after God and gifts from God, the devil ain't going to be giving you nothing. He's not going to be giving you gifts that draw you closer to God. He's not going to be giving you things that put you more intimate with Him, that put you in a place of obedience to what God's calling you to do. The devil's not going to be doing that." And he said this. This was the final thing. This was it. This is when I knew, like, I'm getting this gift. He said, "Have you ever heard a baby belch before?" "Yeah." "Have you ever heard a father say, 'Oh, she just said daddy,' when all it was gas?" "Yeah." He said, "Your heavenly father's the same way." He said, "Even if you get it wrong, God's going to be jumping around in heaven saying, 'Listen to my baby. Listen to my baby. Isn't she beautiful? Isn't he awesome? He just said, Abba, Father.'" He said, "When you're trying to please God, when all your heart and all your soul is just to be pure before Him and to please God and to be closer to God, even if you got it wrong, oh, His chest is going to stick out. His heart is going to be filled with pride over you. You're going to be the apple of His eye. Don't worry about if you're speaking in tongues right or if you're wrong or if you're copying somebody else. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you, because He wants to fill you up. He decided that 2,000 years before you were born that He wanted you filled. He wants it more than you do." I just sunk down in the couch and went, "Who shut out of Bakatai?" I stopped. Wow. From that moment, I was totally liberated to allowing God to fill me up in such a way that made no sense to my mental capacity. See, I was trying to be baptized in the Holy Ghost in a mental capacity, and it just doesn't work. Because this is not a flesh fight that we're in. It's a spiritual fight, and it's spiritual weapons that we're receiving. So it won't make sense to our mind. Man, I started speaking in tongues. It sounded like baby talk. Goo goo ga ga. And I swear to you that I just had like one little tiny syllable that I repeated probably a million times. It was just like one little phrase, like, that's it. All this time I've been praying, that's it. I get this one little phrase. I just kept saying it over and over. You know what? The more I practiced the gift of the Holy Spirit, the more I walked in that every day, He developed my prayer language. My prayer language has even changed. I don't know. It's like in a new dialect. I still don't understand it. But it's a process of developing those gifts. It's a process of walking in those gifts. And listen, they don't make sense to our mental capacity, but it's a step of faith that we take in our spirit, and it's spiritual weaponry, and it's a spiritual impartation of the Holy Ghost, spiritual baptism, and we receive from Him a spiritual language that doesn't make sense to our mind. And we have to remove the arguments of the mind that become stumbling blocks to walking in that gifting and those powers. Because if you think tongues freaks you out, wait till you start walking in the other gifts of the Holy Ghost. God does some weird stuff. Let me get back to just receiving this gift. I don't want to get on all that. Make sure you go to your small groups. You hear about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All of them. There's several more. I'm just focusing on one single one, on tongues tonight, because as the Bible, as Scripture teaches, as the Bible declares, that's the initial physical evidence, or if you will, the first proof that we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are other gifts. There are other giftings of the Holy Spirit. There's so many things that He wants to develop in us, each one of us. Some of us the same, some of us different. I don't think there's any one person that walks in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so to try to include all of those things tonight it takes a lifetime to walk in those things and to develop those things. And I know this to be true in my own life. At certain junctures or at certain seasons of my life, I've walked in a gift for a while, then it's another gift. It just different graces for different times, different needs, different things like that. So I want this to be a launching pad. This is not the end of this discussion or this message tonight when we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is definitely not the end, but just the beginning. There are many, many more gifts of the Holy Spirit for you to develop and get to know Him and know how He works and know His voice and know how He leads you. It's important to do all of that. But speaking in tongues is, like I said, the first proof that you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost according to Scripture verse. So I want to talk to you about how to receive. I talked to you about some of the arguments. How is it that you receive the Holy Spirit? Acts 4, 29 through 31 says this. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. With boldness. First of all, they were together and they were seeking God. That's the first step to receiving. God shook where they were. Now, this is in response to some threats that Peter and John had gotten about healing the man at the Gate Beautiful. And they couldn't do anything because here was a 40-year-old man that was healed. And so they threatened him, don't do this again. And they went and they sought God, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit because they were seeking God. What we're asking for tonight, let me say this right here. What we're asking for tonight, as I said in the beginning, is for what no man is capable of doing. Okay? What we're asking for is for what no man is capable of doing. Only God can baptize us in the Holy Ghost. Acts 19:6 says this, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. When Paul had laid hands on them, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Paul's life, I didn't pull up the scripture verse, but in Paul's life, the same thing happened. When Ananias came and laid hands on him, he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. He received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's Acts 9. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, and God spoke to him. Ananias came in and laid hands on him, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the scales fell off of his eyes. You read that scripture verse. It was through the laying on of hands. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." Aren't we talking about the gift of God tonight? "Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, why is that so important? Because we looked at two things. We are going to lay hands on people who want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, because Scripture shows us to do that. But it also shows that people were baptized in the Holy Ghost without hands being laid on them. That's what that first scripture was, verse was about, where the place was shaken. They were seeking God without hands being laid upon them. The whole purpose of receiving, or the whole way of receiving, is seeking. Seeking the weapons of your warfare. It doesn't matter how you receive it tonight. If you receive it through someone laying on hands, awesome, praise God. If you receive it just seeking God, waiting for somebody to come pray for you, awesome, praise God. We've asked the Holy Spirit to move in this place any way He wants to, and so we're not going to limit Him to any way. The thing that we seek, the person that we seek, is the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not about you'll get it if Tom lays his hands on you and not somebody else. It's not about, well, man, Reed really knows the Holy Spirit. If Reed lays his hands on me, then I'll get it. See, it's about seeking Him. It's about seeking Him, and the purpose behind why we're seeking is to be better soldiers, to be closer to Him, to be closer to our commander, our master, for spiritual warfare and spiritual weaponry. These gifts are to edify the body. They're to be proof to the lost. They're to edify us, to better equip us. It's all about weaponry to fight our war, to fight the battle.